Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Whether you're listening on a local Minnesota station, across the country on our national broadcast, or on your favorite podcast platform, we are glad you're with us today. This week, we talk about how veterans can spot and avoid frauds and scams. We'll also look at education benefits like the Minnesota GI Bill and how on-the-job training can help veterans move into new opportunities, including a career with the Minnesota State Patrol. In our first segment, we're focusing on frauds and scams targeting veterans and military families. Joining us today is Kendall Larson. She's the Chief Compliance Officer at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Kendall has 22 years of military service with our Minnesota National Guard. She's an Operation Iraqi Freedom veteran. Today, Kendall will help us understand why veterans are often targeted, what types of scams are most common, and what warning signs veterans and their families should watch for. Kendall, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, good to have you in here. This is a pretty important topic, and we're going to have two segments together to really get into it, talk about some awareness, some tips and tricks on how people can prevent themselves from becoming a victim of fraud or some of these scams. But let's start at the very beginning, so to speak, and maybe tell us a little bit about your background, your military service, and ultimately what brought you to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
Yeah, thank you. So I was deployed in Operation Iraqi Freedom right after I graduated from college. And when I returned, I wanted to do something better. So I enrolled in law school.
You said something better.
I wanted to do something more.
There you go.
I wanted to connect with my community. I wanted to give back. When you're deployed, you are constantly giving. You are constantly working. And when I came back, I found this void. And so I went into law school and I got my law degree. And when I came out, I went into public defense for 10 years. And then after 10 years, I had some kids and I was like, oh, kids and public defense don't really work. And so I decided to change career courses and I got a job doing general counsel work for the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. And so I was one of their attorneys there. In my previous life with the military for 22 years, the first 10 years or 11 years or so were with the finance office. So I did a lot of financial transactions. I did auditing. I had a lot of experience with finances, with military pay. And then I transitioned after graduating law school. I transitioned to Signal, the Signal Corps. And so I did a lot of IT stuff mostly managed very intelligent IT personnel. And so with my background in finance and IT and then my law background, I combined them all when the Chief Compliance Officer position opened up for the MDVA. And I applied and was selected.
And so that's where you are now. And so how long have you been in that position?
A year and a half.
A year and a half. Okay. Wow. So you've got some pretty good experience to bring to the table to understand some of these things. And I do want to talk about scams. And, you know, specifically, you know, the veterans aren't exclusive in this. I mean, it impacts everybody.
Correct.
But why? Why do you feel like veterans might be targeted just a little bit more?
Well, veterans carry with them the wounds of war. And they aren't just the physical ones. They're the mental ones. They're the emotional ones. Veterans tend to isolate themselves because they don't feel they fit into society. They tend to be more susceptible to scams because of a struggle with mental illness. And so we have to make sure that we are bringing this information to them, to their caregivers, to their children, so that we know and can protect our veterans from these particular scams. So just taking a step back, my first seminar as the Chief Compliance Officer was a fraud prevention seminar. And in that seminar, I listened to a woman named Erin West present about Operation Shamrock. Operation Shamrock is a nonprofit organization that the goal of the organization is to disrupt the ability of scammers to operate. The scams that that she talks about are called imposter scams. They're scams where people are pretending to be someone else. It could be anybody. It could be a celebrity. It could be your bank. It could be a loved one. It could be your romantic partner, anybody. It could be an investment. But they're pretending to be this. It's all false in order to defraud you or the victim of their money. So I heard Erin West talk, and I heard her ask for volunteers, presenting volunteers. And I said, I raised my hand and I said, me, I'll do it. And so I went to a train the trainer. I got the presentation, and I brought that information back to the MDVA because it is really important that our veterans within our MDVA homes are equipped with the protection of preventing them from becoming a victim of scams.
You talked about the impersonator type of scams. When I was in my senior enlisted leader position, I can't tell you the number of fake Facebook sites that used my name, my pictures, all the events I was doing, and they were then targeting people trying to get into some type of a romantic scheme with them to get some money.
That is the number one imposter, the use of imposters. So when we talk about romance scams, I talk about in my presentations five different types of scams: investment scams, romance scams, they're also called confidence scams, phishing scams, imposter scams, and then employment scams. When you're talking about an imposter scam, you're talking about an authority imposter, right? So like your bank, the FBI, police. But imposter that ideal is also used in romance scams. And scammers love to pretend to be military personnel and ask for money.
I mean, heck, I was a pretty good-looking guy in uniform. You
yeah.
know, who wouldn't want to go on a date with me,
exactly.
right?
And somebody's going to marry you. They just have to pay your $50,000 hospital bill.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't even get a cut of that. So.
Right.
All right. So are those really the main things when you go out and you do these instruction seminars? It really is the things you just described. These are really the big ones.
Yeah. So I talk about imposter scams. There's many different types of cyber scams right now. And so when I'm talking about that, you know, you don't have a lot of control when somebody hacks into your email, like a business email compromise. But when they can use psychological tactics to hook you into thinking that you are giving your money to a loved one, somebody that you care deeply about who's not real, or investing your money thinking that you're going to make a better life for yourself. Like, those are the scams that I'm talking about. And I come in and do a presentation on what do these scams look like? How do these scammers try to hook you psychologically? And then I talk about prevention and resources if you are being scammed. And then, you know, offer my services to any other organization that wants to hear about this.
We'll talk about some of the prevention stuff in the next segment, but you know, if someone's offering you something that sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
It
is
probably
that really
is.
The initial warning sign? Or what else do you tell people to look for?
Right. So let's talk about romance scams. Because in my experience presenting to senior centers and our veteran homes, a lot of them are being victims of or are encountering romance scammers. So the scammers know a lot more about us than we know about them. In a romance scam, there's going to be somebody who cold calls you or cold emails you. It's going to say something like, "Hey, Fanny, it was great to hang out last night. Let's hang out again." And, you know, our seniors, our senior veterans, being, you know, kind, they're going to say, "Not Fanny. You know, you got the wrong number."
Yeah.
And then that scammer is going to keep your senior, your veteran talking. They're going to say, "Oh, it's so nice to meet you. It's hard to meet other people. My name's Miranda. What's yours?" And they're going to keep them talking. These are long cons. They're going to keep them talking for 45 to 60 days. And then they're going to introduce some sort of crisis. In the 45 to 60 days, they're doing social engineering on your veteran to find out what drives them so that they can create this fake persona that they fall in love with. And they fall in love with them. They are psychologically hooked to do things against their better interest.
You know, this was many years ago, of course, when this was happening, not to me, but, you know, using my likeness. I can't imagine how much more difficult it is today with the increased utilization of AI and other technology.
Yes. And so they are using these deceptive tactics. One of the things that I talk about in the scams is like there's these grandma scams where somebody calls you and they sound like a family member and they say, hey, I'm in jail. You need to pay my $20,000 bail. And they really do sound like your loved one.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have to be able to figure out and stay ahead of these scammers, right? So something that I recommend is a family safe word. So like, oh, I'm sorry, grandson, you're in jail. You must be very scared. I'll pay your $20,000 bail. What's the family safe word?
Yeah, let's have something, a plan. And I think it's important to keep talking about it. So what we'll do is we'll take a quick break here. We'll come back. We'll talk about some of those prevention things. And you can elaborate a little bit more on a safe word and how we can use that properly so it doesn't seem awkward, right?
Yeah.
So we'll do that when we come back. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In the studio with me is Kendall Larson. She's the Chief Compliance Officer at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. We're having a conversation about scams and fraud. And Kendall, you know, you're talking about targets, the targeted audience, veterans. Of course, we know it impacts everybody. What I'd like to know is if you have an idea, just I don't know if it's a Minnesota statistic or across the world, the country, whatever, money.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we talking about? How much money is lost due to frauds and scams like this?
Yeah. So when I do my presentations, I actually bring the IC3, which is the Internet Crime Complaint Center section of the FBI. They collect that information every year and they put out a report. So last year alone, 13,595 Minnesotans had stolen from them $248 million. $248 million out of the state of Minnesota alone. If you're talking about elderly crime, in 2025, 2,550 elderly Minnesotans, we're talking about over the age of 60, had stolen $111 million. I mean, you want to put that in perspective a little bit. Let's talk about the city of St. Paul. Their annual budget for 2024 was $897 million. Some of this money could fully fund city and state government organizations.
Yeah. And in a lot of cases, there's no way to get that money back.
Correct. So there's been a lot of movement, right? And so if you do encounter, like you are a victim or you believe somebody is to be a victim, the first thing to do is report it. There's many ways to report it. You can report it to the local police department. Many departments have computer crime specialists. You can report it to the FBI. They have a link. It goes straight to the IC3. You can report it to the Attorney General's Office of the State of Minnesota. They take it very serious. They have a fund to help victims. You can report it to the Department of Commerce, especially seniors. So when you get somebody who is psychologically hooked and they believe they are going to marry Doug Wortham, and you are just getting in between them and Doug, and it is like a point where they are isolating themselves, that's the time to get somebody involved, somebody else, not you. The police, the Department of Commerce, the senior fraud ombudsperson, it has a wonderful office with tons of experience on how to break that psychological connection.
So a lot of do's, right? Report, mm-hmm. obviously, number one, you got to tell somebody.
Yes.
But there must be some advice of what not to do, because I know people who actually like to play the game with someone
yes.
they know is calling that it's a scam
yes.
and they will try to lead them on. What do you say about that?
Radio silence. Complete radio silence. Do not respond, even if you know it's a scam. Because guess what? That person knows, that scammer knows, if you respond, that there's a warm body on the other end of that number. They're going to try another scam, a phishing scam. Low risk, low reward. You know, you send out 100 phishing scams and you get 10 back for $100, you got $1,000, right? So don't respond. Don't let the scammer know that there's a warm body on the other end. Like I said, they are trolling our Facebooks. They are looking at us. They are gathering information. They are targeting people. They targeted you, Doug Wortham, right? So now we need to make sure that we are not responding and not giving them that in.
So don't lead them on to get more information to turn around and report it. Just don't respond. Report right away.
Well, but who are you going to – what are we going to do about yeah. it? These scammers are located in compounds. They're being human trafficked themselves,
yeah.
right? So they're victims themselves. Their lives and the lives of their loved ones depend on how much money they bring in. Right? So when you're playing with them, they're just gathering more information on you. You're not actually doing anything that's going to help law enforcement, because it's not like the state patrol can go over to Cambodia and bust up a human trafficking ring.
Yeah. Okay. So We know based on the statistics you've already provided that it's happening. People are still being scammed, even though there are multiple warnings that are constantly all over the place. All right, so somebody gets scammed.
Yes.
Now what? What do you do? I've already lost $20,000 and now I've come to my senses.
Yes. Cut all contact with the scammer. Block all numbers, block all emails, collect all information that you have and report it. The FBI IC3 has transnational or international agreements with other countries. So, for instance, India used to be a huge blamed for a lot of scamming, and it used to be hugely involved in the scamming. Well, we have an international compact with India. So if the FBI sees stolen money stored in cryptocurrency, stored in a bank account, they will shut that bank account down and freeze assets so that we can recover it. So, but there's more work to be done in this realm because, you know, the state of Minnesota has to be able to reach transnationally and be able to recover that money. So the state of New York, the state of California, the state of Florida, they have legislation that allows them to do it. It's limited. But, and so we have work here. We had a great success just recently in shutting down all cryptocurrency ATMs because they were harming our senior populations. Right. And so we're doing a lot of really good work.
Yeah. Crypto. I mean, once you do it, you can't trace it. Right.
Correct. It's almost irreversible and almost irrecoverable. It's getting to we're working on the recovery aspect of it, but it's really hard.
All right. So you had mentioned before, you know, that someone is being stringed along. They believe that this is going to happen. They're going to marry so-and-so. And as a family member, you're seeing this. You're trying to convince them that it's not real. It's a scam. They don't listen.
Yes.
You had mentioned there's a point in time where you have to get in the middle of that.
Yes.
What is that point again? And exactly how do you do it? I mean, how do I convince my elderly mother, grandmother that this is a scam?
Yes. Well, you do it in any means possible, right? Like if it comes to the point where your veteran is so convinced that they are going to marry this person, you take away their phone, right? One of the tricks is calling law enforcement because sometimes people will listen to law enforcement. And so you have law enforcement, local law enforcement come over and say, well, we've had a lot of scams using Doug's name. Are you like familiar with this? And just getting them talking. It's super hard to break that emotional and psychological connection. The World Health Organization has declared loneliness as an epidemic, right? And so people are lonely and the scammers are all too willing to connect with them and ask them how their day was and what they had for breakfast and did they take their pills today? And I hope, Grandma, you have a wonderful and blessed day.
Yeah. And then they call tomorrow.
Again.
And again. It's something else. Yep. And next thing you know, we're best friends.
We're best friends. We're in love. We're getting married. Yeah. When relationships, so that's one of the things that you can look at. If you have noticed that your loved one has met somebody and then very quickly they're girlfriend and boyfriend and then very quickly they're getting married. That's one of the things when I did a presentation for the CVSOs that they brought up is that veterans they're looking for connection. They're connecting with these scammers and they really think they married these scammers and then they're trying to get federal benefits because now they have dependents.
Now, what about the age group, right? I mean, are you seeing this all ages? Is it really just the elderly?
Well, the elderly is the most targeted because mentally they are the most vulnerable. But they are targeting our children. ESPN just did an article about children who are being exploited because and they're being targeted. Like they are being chosen and then they'll friend all their other friends around them on Facebook just to get to that one child. And then that child, they'll befriend that child and continue talking. And 60 days goes by and now they're best friends. And so then they send them a picture. It could be a compromising picture, but it doesn't have to be, you know, with AI, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden that child is being exploited for money. Otherwise, they're going to release this compromising photo or this compromising information that they've gathered from that child.
There's been a lot of that in the news that I've seen.
Yes.
And it leads to, unfortunately, many kids thinking, you know,
they have no other option.
And so then they take their own lives because of this position they've been put in.
Yes. So veterans, talk to your children. Talk to them about internet safety and whether or not they know the people on their Facebook and what information they're putting out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think about that. I mean, how many friends of the 700 and 20,000 friends. Do you really know, right?
Do you know personally?
Probably not too many of them. You just friend them because they're a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend. And,
correct.
And all of a sudden, like you just said, now they've got this electronic or social engineering going on.
Yep.
We've got just a minute left here.
Yes.
So I want to make sure that you can quickly reiterate what resources are available and then how does someone get help? Where do they go?
Yeah. So to get help, you call local law enforcement. There's national and there's Minnesota resources and there's national resources. So the Elder Law, or the Elder Justice Center is a huge resource for somebody who needs help with a scam. You've got the Department of Commerce Senior Fraud Center, but the Department of Commerce has its own fraud related assistance. The Attorney General of Minnesota has a fund to help make people whole when they experience this horrific and emotionally devastating crime. There's no broken bones or band-aids for for this crime. It's emotional and mental damages, and victims are going to be incredibly fragile. Seek out recovery groups or support groups, but you have to be very delicate with your victims because they are going to be mentally and emotionally in a very fragile state. Report it to local law enforcement. Report it to FBI. Gather as much information as you can.
And don't lead them on. Just cut ties. Go radio silent. Awesome. Hey, great advice. Great conversation, too, Kendall. I appreciate you coming in and educating our audience about these scams and fraudsters and really the nefarious actors we have out there. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In this segment, we're going to be talking about education benefits and career pathways for veterans and eligible family members. I've got Ed Godfrey with me. He's the education consultant with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and Charles Eggerstrom, who's the state program administrator with the MDVA. They're going to walk us through the GI Bill, who can use it, how it works, how education benefits can support both in the classroom learning and on the job. I know it's a big one Ed wants to talk about. Ed, you served in the Army Reserve. Thank you for your service. You've deployed to Germany, to Iraq. And Charles, you've served in the active Army, deployed to Iraq twice. Thank you for your service. And both of you, Ed, Charles, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
All right. We've got a lot to get into, and I do want to give you just a quick, 15 seconds apiece. Ed, I'll start with you. What brought you to the MDVA?
Well, I moved out to Philadelphia for grad school after college in the military, and I came back home to kind of resettle and reorganize and just found the job. And I started working with the State Soldiers Assistance Program with MDVA and got poached over into the education side of things shortly thereafter.
Yeah, there you go. Well, and you've been at the MDVA for how long?
9 years now.
9 years. Okay. And Charles, what brought you to the MDVA?
So I was a medic in the Army, and I loved my time in the service. I wanted to continue to serve military, serve veterans, and work with them. So after I left the military, I had the opportunity, a job opened up with the MDVA and Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and I've taken it. Been here for 16 years, and I absolutely love it.
16 years, 9 years, a lot of experience, both working inside this education division or directorate. So let's start with the GI Bill, Ed, because I know that was the one thing you said, hey, I want to make sure we talk about GI Bill and, of course, on-the-job training stuff. So let me just turn the floor over to you. Tell me what we need to know about the GI Bill, who can use it, all of that kind of stuff.
For sure. The GI Bill is a federally funded program, but we also have the Minnesota GI Bill here in Minnesota. So we got to be careful when we say the GI Bill because there's the federal and the state. The veterans, reserve and guard, eligible beneficiaries can use it. But this is kind of the message I really want to get out today, is that it's transition assistance because everyone's gotten in their head, it's money for college, right? But it's always been transition assistance, and it's been that way since 1945, but the message kind of got sidelined into just this one lane.
Well, that was the recruiting,
Exactly.
The Guard Reserve, get the GI Bill, go to college, or serve 4 years, come back, use your GI Bill, go to college.
Exactly. I remember I tracked on an old YouTube video that said, like, can't afford college? Your uncle can.
Yeah.
It's like that's all it was.
Everybody's favorite uncle.
But then this whole job training side of things just fell by the wayside, and I'm here to just kind of say, hey, you can use this in job training. You don't have to go the college route.
And you have been on the show before talking about job training. So give us an idea of what does that look like? I mean, how can you use the GI Bill for job training?
For sure. And to kind of explain why it's there, I always think of the example of it's kind of based on a registered apprenticeship model. But you don't have to be a registered apprenticeship. Any position can be approved. But the idea is that it's like transitioning out of the military into the job market is expensive.
Yeah.
Simply put, you're starting over financially in a new career. And the GI Bill is there to kind of help veterans make long-term decisions when they're starting over financially. And it's like in the apprenticeship world, you're starting over as a day one apprentice and you're not making a lot of money. But you know if you stick it out for 4 years, you're going to be making $60 an hour. So it helps that veteran take that chance to say, I don't know if I can start over at $20 an hour. But the GI Bill is there to say, hey, we can kind of fill some of those gaps so that you can make those long-term risks.
I would imagine you do some partnerships with veteran service organizations, businesses, the trades.
Mm-hmm.
Trades
help. Are huge. Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that.
For sure. And that's the big, you know, money for college issue. It's like if you're going to be an electrician, you don't need to go to college. You know, it's going straight into the workforce and a lot of service members just don't even know it's there. So, yeah, that's one of the bigger demographics. I was actually at this morning at Prairie Island Nuclear Facility. They got a bunch of, you know.
I was wondering why you were glowing.
Yep. But, you know, they got a bunch of men and women getting out of the Navy, you know, your boiler techs,
yeah.
Welders, nuclear, you know, technicians. And they're all going in, you know, they can get into the nuclear power sector. And so we've got a handful of positions approved with Xcel Energy, you know, Elite Power and Duluth.
And we're going to talk to one of your partners here in the last segment of the show, the Minnesota State Patrol, and we'll hear a little bit of how that works with them too. So great partners all around.
Yeah.
I want to make sure we can get Charles into the conversation because we only have about 5 minutes left here. You know, GI Bill, Charles, is the big one. Minnesota GI Bill is a great benefit. What other types of educational benefits are out there that our veterans might be able to access?
When it comes to veterans' benefits, there's a huge list, which is so important to our programs so that we can help people understand both short-term and long-term planning. Some of the programs are the Veterans Readiness Employment Program, the Chapter 31. For our current serving people, there's programs like the Federal Tuition Assistance, State Tuition Reimbursement. The Minnesota GI Bill has multiple facets you can use for higher education, on-the-job training, apprenticeship, and license and certification. That's where we start.
I remember back in the day, I was able to use the Minnesota GI Bill and also federal tuition assistance at the same time. So that was a federal and a state program. Inside of the programs you're talking about, can everything be used together or are there some restrictions there?
That's exactly it. There are restrictions. I mean, you're making something with this. So you're putting things together and so there are some rules. You can use certain programs together, but the goal is to, you know, in our program is to really make sure that we sit down with our veterans, our current military, our dependents, and our survivors to help them understand what benefits are available to them for both short-term and long-term planning and how to put them all together to reduce that burden, especially in this transition piece.
Now, who's the right person to talk to, right? Because I can't imagine that every college, university, vocational school, right, knows all the ins and outs of these programs. You know, you're not going to go to school because you're going to go right into some type of an OJT. You know, how do you get connected to understand what you might be eligible for and what series of things working together will work best for you when it comes to the financial piece?
And that's exactly it. Where do you get help? I mean, we know every county in the state of Minnesota has a county veteran service officer. Well, the Higher Education Veterans Program with MDVA, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, has 12 coordinators. We are throughout we are scattered throughout the entire state. We are on every college campus. We work with every county, or with every certifying official on campus to help both the schools and help the students understand their benefits.
Yeah, so if you're out there listening right now, the message is, one, reach out to your county veteran service officer so they can at least get you connected with you. And then, or at the schools, of course, you guys have offices in many of the colleges or universities. And just start asking the question, because at the end of the day, I think the worst thing that could happen is you come across somebody who has gone through this great long program, put a lot of time, effort, and money into it, and they never tapped into the benefits that they had available or they were eligible for.
It happens way, way more than you ever want to know. And I will say this. Can I plug the MDVA website?
Of course you can. Absolutely.
Perfect. So where can people get help? If you are taking the time to look online and you search up the Minnesota GI Bill, MNGI Bill, it'll bring you to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs webpage where you can get a ton of information on the Minnesota GI Bill. But if you scroll to the bottom, we'll have a link there for finding the coordinator near you. We have a map that comes up. It'll show you who is in your region. You can contact anybody in the state of Minnesota, whether they're in your region or not, to get assistance. Give them a call and say, hey, here's my questions. Can I come sit down with you? How can we help? Because that's ultimately our goal. Customer service, taking care of our veterans, our current military, our survivors, and our dependents.
What if I'm a veteran that I don't have any of my discharge records and I can't prove that I served? Can you still help me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, customer service is our main piece, right? Taking care of the people who've served our country, who've been part of this. That's what we can do.
All right. Now, Ed, we have maybe about a minute left here. All right. OJT, very important. GI Bill, very important. How do you partner with different entities, though, to promote this?
If you want information about it, like just following the Minnesota GI Bill website, the state approving agency's link there. Like, I'm willing to work with any business who has a veteran who has benefits and wants to use them. Like, as long as we can get connected, I can help make those approvals happen.
And so the place there is get that information off that GI Bill website. Or again, you know, we say it all the time here. Go and connect. Mm-hmm. Because when you connect with your county veteran service officer, not only can they at least connect you to who can help with education benefits, there might be some other things that you didn't know you might be eligible for because of your service, whether it's a connected disability or whatever it is. All right. Final thoughts, Charles.
I'm so thankful for being here. Our goal is to provide assistance with state and federal benefits to our veterans, to our current military, to our dependents, and our survivors. Please reach out to us so we can help you.
Perfect. Ed, final thoughts?
The GI Bill can be used for on-the-job training. I wish I could shout that from every mountain in the nation.
If you pound on the desktop here, there you go. Now people will know that it's been ingrained. OJT, GI Bill, get it together and make that phone call. Hey, I appreciate you guys coming in, even though it was for a very short segment. But we want to save some time for our State Patrol guests coming up in the next segment. So there's the little tease. Charles Ed, have a great day. Thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Wonderful. Thanks so much.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. In our final segment today, we're going to look at how veterans can turn military experience into a career in public service. And joining me from the Minnesota State Patrol is Sergeant April Bogart. April has 20 years of military service, including two deployments to Iraq and a deployment to Cuba. April is a recruiter with the Minnesota State Patrol, and she's here to talk about the Law Enforcement Training Opportunity Program, or LETO. Sergeant Bogart, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, thanks.
Good to have you in here. You know, we don't often get people in uniform in here. Mm-hmm. You know, most of our guests that do wear a uniform are military, and they use this as an excuse not to have to come in uniforms. So they put on a polo. So I feel very protected. Let's start with the beginning, right? Yeah. And I don't mean all the way at the beginning, but I mean what led you from the military into the State Patrol?
Yeah. So I initially joined way back in 2023. I went through my two deployments and stuff like that. They were kind of like harder, more traumatizing ones. I always had a passion for law enforcement. It was always my dream. But after those, I didn't know if like this was like the right career choice for me. So I decided to go to school for business instead, something totally different. But after going to school, getting my bachelor's degree in business, I was like, you know what? That calling was still there for law enforcement, and I heard about the LETO program with the Minnesota State Patrol, and so I ended up signing up for the LETO program and going to school, and now I'm a state trooper.
Yeah, no, you certainly are, and for those that are listening, they will know when we reference the long deployment, mm-hmm. you're on that deployment with our Minnesota National Guard, yeah. And then I didn't know this but until, of course, I was reading your bio, that we were in Iraq together in 2009-2010 in Basra.
Yeah.
You were at the 34th MPs, and so here you are, mm-hmm. and of course, we're already giving Beth Dedek a hard time, letting her know that you're here visiting us on Minnesota Military Radio, and again, thank you for your service. We appreciate that. And thanks for what you're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the LETO program. I think that it's important to understand what it is. I mean, how did it work for you and how would it work for others?
Yeah. So the LETO program is a law enforcement training opportunity. So it's for anybody who's got a 2 or 4 year degree in anything at all that's not for law enforcement. So like me, I went to school for business. So if you've got a degree in anything else, you can apply for our LETO program. And it's a 22-week program where we pay you and pay for your schooling, 80% starting trooper pay. And we'll pay you to go to schooling. You will get post-certified. And then you'll be eligible then to go to our academy and join our traditional applicants. And then go through our academy and then go through FTO and go through that route to become a state trooper.
And is that schooling in a traditional brick-and-mortar school online, or is it something that you guys actually provide?
Well, we provide it, but it goes through colleges. So you would start out at Century College and then go through the skills portion at Hennepin Tech.
Gotcha.
Perks with that is that you can use your GI Bill through all of that process. So while you're in Lido, through the Academy and through FTO, you can use your GI Bill throughout that entire process.
And Ed Godfrey would love to hear you saying that.
Yep, because I used my GI Bill through all of that. And then another thing that a lot of people don't know about is that you get college credits throughout your military career that you can transfer over, because you do have to have that minimum two-year degree to be able to apply to get into the Lido program. And so at the end of my military career, I ended up having over 60 college credits that you can transfer over to be able to utilize to help get that two-year degree.
That is such a little known secret. Mm-hmm. Just real quickly, I don't want to dig into all your time, but I went back to school, had all of my evaluation done for military experience. I was only a few credits away from my associate's degree, took a long break, went back, evaluated again, a few classes away from my bachelor's degree.
Yep.
I mean, and so the amount of time I actually had to spend in college to get those two degrees was very minimal.
Yeah. So for a lot of veterans that actually do a lot of service time or go through a lot of schools, you actually, people, when I tell them that you need a two-year degree, they're like, oh, man. But you actually might need only just a couple of classes to get that two-year degree to be able to apply for us. So something to look into.
What a great thing. Make sure that you do that. Because that was the next thing I was going to ask. Is, all right, even though I'm a veteran, do I still have to have that two-year degree in order to go through the program?
Yeah, Minnesota Post Board still requires that two-year degree.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to skip around just a little bit because I don't want to run out of time. But all right, so let's just say that the veteran or a person, but in this case a veteran, they've got the two-year degree, they apply for it, they go through the whole process, and they're accepted. What is like the academy like? How physically demanding is this? Is this just going to be old hat for any of us old veterans?
Yeah. It's going to be pretty similar to basic training. You're just going to be going through it a little bit older and probably with worse knees than when you went through with basic training.
Yeah.
But pretty similar to before. Do PT twice a day, a lot of running, push-ups, something similar. We do a lot of body weight stuff. We preach fitness for life. We want to prepare you for the road. But it's nothing overly demanding. You should be able to do it. Our fitness test is a 2,000-meter row test, so as long as you prepare for that. Get some running and push-ups in, you should be able to handle our PT.
Is part of the test driving at a high rate of speed?
It's not part of our fitness test, but it's something that you get to do.
Okay, because it could be physically demanding.
It is, yeah.
You know, especially if you're having to watch these trees fly by real fast, right? All right, so physically fit, go through the academy, everything is good, you start your field training stuff, and then you become a trooper.
Yeah.
What does the career look like from there?
It's pretty much anything you want it to become. There's so many different job opportunities. Once you get on your own, you could get into investigation. There's drug recognition. You could get a canine. There's flight section. So if there's anybody in aviation out there that wants to continue with flight, we've got a flight section. We've got our mobile reaction team. We've got our own SWAT team. We've got our executive protection that protects the governor. We've got our Capitol security, different instructors. So if you want to get into teaching firearms or EVOC, which is the driving and stuff like that, and just drive fast all the time, defensive tactics, there's so many different opportunities.
You can become
a recruiter. Yep.
Yeah.
There's
so
lots of different things.
As a recruiter, what are you looking for in people, though? I mean, obviously a desire, right, to serve the public, to give back, that type of a thing. But are there other traits or personality type things you're really looking for?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of it is what soldiers are. Because what soldiers have is like the leadership, the discipline. Integrity is huge for us. It's one of our biggest core values. Communication, being able to talk on the radio, it's what soldiers do. It's what we do. Decision making under stress is huge. The teamwork, being able to adapt, being able to, every soldier knows to hurry up and wait. You got to be able to, I mean, problem solving, all of those traits that soldiers have is what we're looking for.
Yeah, and so I imagine that's why you're actively recruiting service members, current or veterans, because of all of those things.
Exactly.
Interesting. All right, so how do you recruit then? I mean, other than coming on Minnesota Military Radio, we're going to be heard on 72 stations across Minnesota, national broadcast. But how are you getting this word out?
We're trying to go out to as many recruitment events as possible, getting out to different units, just trying to spread the word as much as possible. Encouraging you can go to mntrooper.com, get out there. We're encouraging ride-alongs. You can go out on a ride-along to try to get out and experience what it is like for us. But also, we're just trying to get out and a lot of different career fairs and things like that.
Are you going back into the 34th MP company looking for people to come to?
I do try to do a lot of recruitment there, yes. We do have quite a few troopers there.
Yeah, and it was funny. I was telling you before that the commander on that deployment is on the executive protection team right now.
Yeah.
And I ran into him at an event, and I was quite surprised to see him there.
Yeah.
Not because of what he was doing, just I wasn't expecting it. You know, I always see him in uniform, so so that's pretty fun. All right, so you actively recruit. Veterans are a great place to go. What is the one thing that you would tell somebody, though, as they're considering this? You know, like, I don't know, maybe I'm not up for it. What do you tell somebody?
I would say if you really had a passion for serving your country and you still have that passion for serving and trying to give back, then and you want to try to serve back to your community, that this is something to give the try out. And I would say do your research, go to our website, look into it, sign up to do a ride-along, call one of us recruiters, send us an email. I've got lots of information. I can talk – there's plenty of more information about military resources and things like that and benefits that we have for military that I can help talk you through and stuff. So definitely go to mntrooper.com, reach out to us recruiters, and – do some more research on it.
MNTrooper.com. That's the place to go.
It is.
And give it a whirl. Talk to people. And I wish you the best of luck, right, as you continue to poach. I don't want – that's a bad word to say. That could be illegal depending on what we're talking about. But to help fill the ranks, right? I do think that our veterans, our military members, they're great assets to businesses in whatever field it is. But in this case, especially, it's great to have some people with some high integrity out there on the road. So,
yes.
All right, awesome. Well, hey, April, thanks so much for spending some time with us. Appreciate you coming into Minnesota Military Radio, and thanks for all you do, and thanks for your service. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, before we end today's show, I want to let you know about Minnesota Military Family Day on July 18th. That's from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. out at Vikings Lakes. This free event for military-connected Minnesota families is sponsored by the Minnesota Vikings and McGough Construction. Search for Minnesota Military Family Day online for details about this family-friendly event featuring outdoor games and picnic-style food. Registration is required. Thanks for joining us this week on Minnesota Military Radio. We always welcome your feedback and guest suggestions. Visit MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us. You can also catch up on past episodes there and on your favorite podcast platform. Next week, we check in with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Company and hear from an organization committed to improving lives through the healing power of dogs. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. Have a productive week. Please take a moment to thank and honor those who have served and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.